Hello, friends, and welcome to World Build With Us, the podcast where we create fantastical worlds with help from you, our listeners. My name is Rob Hilferty, and I'm here with my co-hosts, Daniel Quinn and Courtney Staples. On today's episode, we are finishing up our Land of a Thousand Voices Part 2. So obviously, it's a Part 2, so you want to go back and listen to Part 1, because otherwise it's going to be fairly hard to follow along, honestly. But a big thank you to our patron, Sunji, for this particular prompt. It's been a fun one thus far. And the last time, we had a twist, which was there's an unreliable main character or narrator. But before we get into our reconciliation, here's a reminder that if you want us to build your world, you can always go to our website, worldbuildwithus.com, where you can click the link, follow some instructions, and within a reasonable amount of time, we'll be building your world. If you want to follow us on social media, we're on YouTube, so go subscribe. We're also on Twitter at Let's World Build. And if you want to talk to us more directly, we're on a Discord, so you can go ahead and click that link in the description. Come chat with us more directly. Or perhaps you, like Sunji, are feeling particularly generous or just want access to sweet, sweet patron-only goodies. You can go ahead and go to our Patreon, give us a little bit of money as a thanks or as a treat, however you want to position it, and help continue to support the podcast. So let's dive right into it. We've got the twist that there's an unreliable main character or narrator. Daniel, start us off. What have you got for us this time?
I was thinking back to the golden BDO that I introduced, and we described it as mostly being an instrument or a tool to be used, but I also imagine it having some sort of intelligence when interacted with. And I think part of its narrative purpose was to create disharmony among the tribes as they vie for control over it. But I wonder if it also can provide some sort of counsel when you're interacting with it, and that counsel is unreliable or problematic in some way.
That's kind of interesting. It's like a talking harp, basically, except that harp also wants you to set fires.
No, I like that. What kinds of unreliable things did you have in mind, if anything? Like, is it lying to them outright? Is it just not telling them the full truth?
Well, we don't know where it came. We didn't establish where it came from, right? So I thought perhaps it has some connections to the planet, which we know hates them. So I'm wondering if it's misleading in that if it exists to create discord among the tribes, perhaps it's telling them things about the other tribes that would, you know, create enmity between them. Because they're all trying to use it.
I like the idea that it's like something that potentially the planet made itself.
Well, Courtney, I'm glad that you brought up mine, my reconciliation with the twist, because that is in fact what I went with. Not entirely. I was thinking about this BDO as well. Originally, I wanted to do like, oh, the whole story is being told to us by the planet. Like, that's lame. I don't want like a Christmas snow globe ending like that one terrible show. I was thinking, I'm like, okay, let's talk about the BDO then. Why not have it be part of the planet's machinations? Like, yes, we think it's some alien thing, but instead the planet is at least partially responsible for this BDO coming down. That was my initial kind of reconciliation with the idea.
Yeah, I like that.
I wonder if, like, was this thing a satellite that had been orbiting that it kind of pulled down into the atmosphere, since it seems to have some kind of control over the atmosphere, or did it somehow craft it on its own?
I mean, the planet knows that these people like the music, and they've kind of evolved on the basis of that. And obviously the planet itself is musical. I know we established that it creates antibodies that emanate silence, essentially. But the atmosphere has a harmony that they manipulate, right? So it must have some connection to music in general. So whether the satellite is something that rotated it and it came down, or produced this little pearl out of itself, like some kind of evil clam or an oyster. I'm not sure which one produces pearls. But the idea is that I think you're right in that maybe it manufactured this orb naturally. I don't know if that means it's a satellite or if it came out of the Earth. If it's a satellite, the question would be like, are there other satellites? And what does it mean for it to call one back to itself? You know?
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking that it could also be like some kind of like a bone, like they literally take like its jawbone out or something like that. Or maybe, to be really gross about it, it could be like earwax because, you know, earwax, sound, etc. I don't know. Also, if it's golden, I'm thinking about like some of the earwax that I've had in my life to sure. paint you a very vivid picture. Yeah, you're welcome.
Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah. Maybe it's, you know, after these centuries, millennia of attempting to silence the people, it realized like, got to go in the opposite direction and make even more noise with it, or give them something to make even more noise that'll fuck them over ultimately.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, we've given the children recorders. Let's see what happens. And then they just brandish them as knives. I'm like, here we go. So, all right, we tore through our first two relatively quickly. So, Courtney, how did you reconcile with your twist?
Yeah, I did not factor the BDO into this at all.
Excellent. Even better.
My interpretation here is that this overall species of intelligent life is an unreliable narrator for their own history, because most, if not all of it, is told through music and oral tradition. And if we really want to go far with it, we could even say that they don't have written languages at all. So everything gets distorted as it's passed down.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, that
like as a foundational works. Thing, you know. It
yeah.
can also lead into how, you know, if there's a central narrative that's trying to be constructed, say, by this object, that could create problems because their source of truth tends to be based on an individual community rather than a record, right? Mm-hmm. So there could be contests about history, and the central thing could be saying, oh, no, but this is the truth, and it's misleading on top of that.
I really yeah. love that idea that we're dealing with a bunch of contested histories, because you know me at this point, I'm a big old history nerd. So the idea that we're getting like every quartet has its own like theory and history of the world, and with no written history, it's like, well, there's a lot more braggadocio than we're thinking, and there's a lot more inaccuracies than we'd like. And the fact that that's a giant game of musical telephone is quite fun to think about, actually.
Yeah, definitely. And could certainly create a lot of issues. I mean, especially too, if this BDO leads to more and more groups intermingling and stuff, because more or less all along it would have been a giant game of telephone, but limited in its scope, like as different communities interact. But this would be like a worldwide game of telephone, potentially.
Interesting. Yeah. Ooh, that's going to interact weirdly or in a very interesting way with my faction. I'm actually kind of interested to see how that's going to go, but
I was going to ask some global questions before we get into factions.
Sure. Yeah, I wanted to ask something too.
Yeah, because like there's certain things that are unclear. Like I've recognized that we have tribes that have evolved based on various musical things, and they're guided by the physics of the world. We haven't really talked about what magic means, but I have questions about like if the planet dislikes the things growing on it, like what is it about sound that's problematic to it, especially if its atmosphere produces sound, you know, or is I forget the exact prompt, but if its atmosphere was used in that process, like what's the tension between the two, like why
didn't we come up with something about the fact that the magic that they use is like in some way like stripping the autonomy from the earth? Didn't we come up with that last time?
Right,
that it was forcing it to do things that it didn't want to.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
Looking at the prompt again, the magic is produced by special interactions with a metaphysical atmosphere produced by the planet. Uh-huh.
So then are we saying, this is just so I understand, we're saying that it's not so much a depletion of resources or a strip mining of any kind. It's more that by manipulating that atmosphere and other structures through sound, you're mastering the planet in a way that doesn't want to be controlled.
Exactly. Because we were dealing with a sentient planet as well.
Right. So it's sending, since the way to manipulate and shape it is by controlling sound, that's why it produces these anti-sound antibodies.
Yeah. And I think too, with the atmosphere, like it could be a disturbance of just the natural flow of the planet. Like, you know, as animals migrate or as plants grow, they emit certain sounds or potentially used to emit certain sounds. And like that maybe impacted how things work on the planet, but
ecosystem.
Yeah, exactly. But like when you have these tribes of people suddenly like singing some loud ass song in the forest, then everything gets disturbed.
That makes sense to me. So basically in this world, there is kind of a baseline symphony, so to speak, that is the music of the way nature works. And humanity, being the kind of technological beings that we are, we make things, we're disrupting that natural balance of things. And we're probably messing up whole ecosystems as a result of the music we're generating.
Yeah, that sounds about right. And maybe what we're also kind of considering is that like the planet itself has a very specific, you know, like gut biome, so to speak. And this manipulation is causing it like indigestion, or you know, it is causing like an allergic reaction to what's going on. One other thing that we just haven't considered yet is maybe the music that they play is just not very good. Haven't considered this yet.
To the planet. I mean, I do like your ear analogy to some degree, because the eardrum is this delicate thing, right, in the human body. And perhaps like that's what this thing is. Like it's opening its ear. And maybe the reason, like the way to communicate with it directly, to have an actual conversation with it, is it by opening its ear to you. So that could create vulnerability for the planet on the one hand, because it's a delicate part of it, but it also gets the humans closer so it can hurt them through the stories it tells them.
So it is made of god wax. Cool. Got it. Okay.
Gross.
No, and that makes sense as to like why then the planet would know the entire history of everybody, because it's the planet. Like,
yeah.
It's been there, yeah, the whole time. So it can kind of twist and manipulate as it desires.
I mean, and then your concept of satellites coming down could work, because we can think of the satellites, if there's more than one, as like parts of its ear system, you know, that keeps the cohesion of that atmosphere. And so when it brings one down, sure, it creates a weakness for itself. It's exposing itself, but now it can really deeply communicate with these people.
I see. Yeah, that's cool. And I think visually that like makes more sense to me than it like popping something out of its its skin, basically.
I mean, it can work with their, if they have a sort of philosophy of religion, in that they would be seeing something come out of the sky, so they would probably revere it.
Yeah. And like last time, Rob, I think it was one of your tenets that established that they don't worship the planet, they don't kind of have a religion based around it, so maybe this is also interrupting that.
Oh, it's a way for the planet to trick them into worshiping it. Because perhaps they don't know those satellites are part of the planet. You know?
Yeah, or like trick them into, I don't know, almost paying less attention to the surface of the planet and more to the sky.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm just imagining that the planet's like, all right, I've tried killing them. Maybe now I can get them to kill themselves by worshiping me. You know, it's like this devious plan.
Yeah.
And no, but I think that kind of works. It is rather interesting to be like, all right, we're gonna, maybe that's it. Maybe the planet just hasn't tried to be worshipped as a god yet, and it's like, all right, fine, you've got it. Fine, I'll give it a shot. Hopefully, this will work. But then, obviously, we get to see how the people react to this kind of new god, and it, so far, it's not going well for them.
Yeah. One of my questions was just, where did you say the BDO was located, Daniel? Or did it have a position? Was it just in the air still?
I imagine it coming down to the surface.
Okay.
I don't particularly care where, but maybe someplace that's not tribally contested, you know?
Yeah. I gotcha.
Was this a dream that I had or a thing that I was thinking of? Or we did eventually come upon the idea that this thing is an amplifier for the abilities. Okay. Yeah. I wanted to make sure. I was like 99% sure, but I was like, so, okay.
That also makes sense if it's like an eardrum, you know?
Yes, exactly. Ooh. So like the planet is kind of like banking on this idea that like, it's going to be painful. It's going to be painful for a little bit, but it'll be worth it in the long run, because they're going to kill themselves. They're going to kill each other until this problem's solved. Right. That's kind of how I'm imagining it right now, you know?
Yeah.
The planet is just a spiteful bitch. What can we say?
Actually, talking about it more, now I'm wondering, like, is the BDO not just pitting everybody against each other, but also, like, stealing their voices?
Ooh. Oh, that's cool shit. Oh, man, like, that's really cool.
Like, as they make music or sing, it's somehow, I don't know, collecting that energy or diluting it in some way. And it's not like, you know, somebody loses their voice instantly, they would notice that right away. But it's like a very right. gradual, almost a muting of these cultures.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I'm just trying to think of this in context of the cultures themselves, right? Literally, all of their or most of their culture is based around producing music in some way, right? So if mm-hmm. they realize that, oh, we use this thing and our voices get a little bit hoarser or we can't move as well or something like that, wouldn't that like immediately tip them off to be like, we need to stop using this, it's going to kill us? Or is it kind of like this kind of technological arms race or something like that, where they're like, we don't care, we're going to clear cut forests, we're going to drain every resource that we have because we want thing? Because that doesn't necessarily jibe with the kind of cultures that I feel like we've created in the world thus far.
No, I was more picturing it as like a very, very gradual thing, or maybe it doesn't happen for quite some time and then it gets activated. Like this thing is, I don't know, recognizing their voices and almost like, you know, in Adobe Audition, how you can do a noise removal where you sample a bit of noise and then put it over other parts of the recording and it takes out that specific noise. Like it could be like that, where it's basically taking in all of the noise that people make and it's eventually gonna do that noise removal process.
Courtney, it sure does sound that what you're trying to talk to us about is inoculation. It sounds as though that, yeah, go ahead. No, speak into this thing. And then it's giving itself like a slight exposure to the thing that irritates it, only to then eventually build up a tolerance to this thing, right? Like if we consider it like a vaccine, it's trying to vaccinate itself. It's trying to create antibodies that will work on its own, right?
Potentially, yeah. Like I was picturing it as like it eventually silencing these beings, but
well, isn't maybe that what it's doing already? Like by like taking their voices slowly?
Oh, I mean like have that turn into a permanent silence of these things.
Oh yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Ooh, a silence storm, if you will. I don't know why that's horrifying to me, but it is. Like imagine just like a tornado, but it just sucking up sounds all over the place.
For some reason, when you guys were talking, I imagined the Little Mermaid, because in the Little Mermaid, she takes her voice out with Ursula, one of the baddest mm-hmm. queens ever.
Yes, I agree. And also Daniel, same. I was also thinking of that as well. I almost sang into the microphone, but I'm like, there's been enough singing lately. So, you know,
I was thinking, you know, like to what you're saying, Courtney, it takes a sample of the voice. Like maybe in order to use the device, you have to like literally put your voice into it. So, mm-hmm. and then what it does is then it scans your voice so that it can later on prepare to annihilate your voice.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. Yeah.
And metaphorically speaking, that is functionally like an inoculation for the creature, because mm-hmm. the planet is learning about your voice so that it can create an antibody that will ultimately extinguish your voice, right?
Yeah.
So I think you guys are saying the same thing. You're okay. just saying there's different ways of going about it.
I completely agree with you. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. But I like the idea of I always want to think, well, what does that physically look like? And I think I can mm-hmm. see them going up to this like golden eardrum thing and like depositing their voice into it temporarily so that they can have this enhanced performance, right? Mm-hmm. And it gives it back, but they don't know that it scanned their voice and now it's going to, you know, fuck it up.
Yeah.
It's creating something that is specifically designed to wipe out the thing that made it, right? So what if we made that like a doppelganger? Because it's an exact copy, right? And in this kind of culture, like the voice and the sound that you make is effectively your soul. So if you give this thing your voice, you're giving it like your essence, and it creates a fucked up simulacra of that based on you. So it's creating like an army of these people. And it's just, I don't know. I'm thinking that this like, maybe it like removes features, or like it's not a complete or perfect doppelganger, obviously, but it's like a weird fucked up imprint of some kind to make like a specific antibody against that person, you know?
I like the idea of a fucked up version a little bit, because like I'm thinking about what it has created thus far, which is usually animals, right, and the environment that have anti-sound properties. I could imagine it now puking up these like really fucked up doppelgangers. Like I'm thinking like C-rate a horror movie where they're kind of melty and their faces aren't quite right. And those things start to populate in the environment over time. And that's the embodiment of that erasure algorithm that Courtney's talking about. But I don't know how that would physically work. Does that mean like it's going to hunt them out and then like embrace them and silence them? Does it mean that they're just incubating to take true form? And now there's a tribe of creatures that are created by the planet. I don't know.
I'm kind of thinking that it's like it's an iterative process, right? Where they're just like, we're eventually going to make the perfect apex predator. And yeah, maybe like they're a bit melty now. And I think that there might be an incubation period, but who knows? It might just be that, yeah, we're creating these things and then they just stick together like a giant amalgamation. So it's like this massive like blob of thing. I don't know. There's a couple of different ways that we can go with it.
For some reason, I'm kind of picturing the thing from Ferngully, like the black.
The Hexus?
What is it called?
Tim Curry?
The Hexus?
Yeah, Tim Curry.
Yes.
The cloud thing? Yeah. Hexus.
Because he was kind of like goopy, right?
I thought he was smog, like black smoke or something like that. Wasn't he?
I thought I remembered some kind of goopiness. Like, I know what you're talking about.
You would remember goop, Courtney. Yeah, I don't disagree. I think you would remember goop, you of all people. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he looks kind of goopy if you look at the pictures. Yeah. I mean, I think he was meant to be smog, but the way they depicted him was somewhat goopy sometimes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's... Hold on. So what's been going on is as this thing has been creating doppelgangers, there's like a swamp somewhere. And it's like a literal primordial ooze that has been gathering all of this DNA, and these things start walking out of the swamp, right? Just because it's like these are the imperfect copies, and eventually they're going to get better and better and even more horrifying. Who knows? But like these are like the alpha versions of the copies that the planet is creating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like the swamp imagery.
Hell yeah.
Just like about the doppelganger thing, I'm just like wondering if the planet would do that, given that it kind of hates these people, or would it be developing something else out of this mass?
Something more like non-human?
Yeah.
Mm. Well, it could be like the human thing, but with like a failsafe or the inability to manipulate that magic, right? It's the same thing, but silent. So it's like removing a key part of these things.
We could go the opposite. We could have them be giant things instead of like people. That would lose a doubling.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the question is, how important is doubling? Because it seems like a new element almost.
Yeah.
Well, why don't we explore some of the factions, and maybe we can kind of come back to this point a little bit later. So we can, maybe we can make it jibe somewhere. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because we know that the planet has a plan to inoculate / erase their abilities at a minimum. How is the question?
Right. Right. And maybe we can explore that a little bit further. So, Daniel, why don't you get us started with your faction? What faction do you have ready for us?
I was imagining this tribe that lives in the sky, and they have developed some kind of like, I'm picturing like a lightweight jellyfish superstructure of some kind. So thin kind of sheets that flow around the sky that they live inside of or on. And they use it as well with their voices to send communications through it to each other. So it transfers like sound and maybe like sound patterns that contain information to that construct things that can be used in the sky. So that's like their living spaces or whatever. And they themselves are kind of like bird-like in their physiology because they're lightweight and they're in the sky, less gravity. So that's the faction.
Daniel, I don't know what's going on today, but I feel like we're like really weirdly in sync, but in opposite directions in some ways.
Did you make stone dwarves?
Not quite, but like the basis for my faction is that they're able to make sub audible like reverberations and hums into the ground. So they can literally pick up vibes and send vibes. So I was thinking of like a throat singing, right? But that throat singing is so low that you like the people can't audibly hear it anymore, except it does send like these waves, these sound waves in through the ground, through the earth itself.
Oh, through like stone. That's kind of cool.
Well, bone, I guess, because it's a little bone. Yeah. So like that's part of it, you know? And then the other part is like, oh, well, I want to implement some kind of a magical thing. Right. But I didn't want to go like, oh, it's, you know, fantastical, because we haven't really done that. It's been very close to, you know, like not hard sci-fi, but it's been more realistic in terms of the fantastical elements thus far. Mm-hmm. Big air quotes around realistic, of course. But I was thinking that their ability to communicate long distances with one another, and also they can pick up like sounds and vibrations from other performances, which gives them a kind of like telepathy as well. And so like, I'm just thinking about like how your faction would probably not get along well with my faction, or at least my faction would really distrust your faction because they literally don't touch the ground. So they can't pick up the vibes of your air people.
Oh, I see. So they're kind of like greedy about them, or it's almost like having treasures to be able to listen in on all these things, but the people in the sky can't really hear them because they're up there.
I think the way that I would put it is that because they're able to pick up on vibes so well, like that, imagine that you're talking to someone, like you're talking to a group of people, you know, literally everything about them, you know what they're going to say, you can anticipate everything. And then you meet this one asshole who you literally can't get a read on at all. You can't like anticipate what they're going to say. And so you suddenly feel really flustered. You feel like a, like kind of a jerk. And it's like, oh man, what's going on with me? And I imagine that that's more the discomfort they're feeling. I don't see them as like greedy. Again, that's a dwarvish trait. We're not doing dwarf shit here, Daniel. But I imagine that there is something to this where it's like, I'm just really socially uncomfortable around you because I can't get a read on you. That's the kind of vibe that I'm thinking.
So basically like Klingon bone dwarves who are emotionally stunted, and because they are not used to people whose emotions they can't read, they get upset.
Literally nothing like that except for most of it. Yes.
No, I like the idea of the parallel between a permeable membrane, right? So like jellyfish of the sky, and then an impermeable one though that carries the same property. It carries sounds, right? The same way, but it's through the earth's physiology, the earth's materials.
Again, there's like this weird kind of dance we're doing today, and I'm kind of here for it.
Well, funnily enough, I also have another type of terrain that you guys haven't covered yet, because my faction is a
blood.
Yeah, I'm guessing blood too, Daniel. Yeah, it's
Sorry, I had to do it.
It's fair. My faction is a seafaring group, not bloodfaring, who have adapted to be able to dive deep into water and hold their breath for a long time. And like picturing their songs as akin to whale songs that carry really, really long distances underwater, but of course aren't as effective in the air.
Interesting.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah.
No, it's kind of funny that we all ended up covering each sort of section.
Yeah. See, when you say that they're like kind of like whale songs, I was definitely thinking more like ba ba da 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 da. But that's, you know, maybe that's just me. But also, okay, I'm gonna make you do this, Courtney. You said that these are oceans, right? That these are seas. What are they made out of? Because this is a living planet, so it's got to be some kind of fluid. What are we working with here?
Well, I mean, I don't think it needs to be a.
Like a commotion, sure.
Scientifically legitimate planet, as far as like, I didn't picture it as like being made out of bone and flesh and stuff. I figured it was still going to be like rock and soil. It just is somehow alive.
Interesting.
Connected.
I was thinking like somewhere in between, where it's like part rock and soil and part organic thing. Because it's like, mostly I would agree with you, but it's the antibodies thing that really like gets me thinking about it, where like that to me feels like it's got to be at least semi-organic because it's able to produce something, right?
I originally meant it metaphorically, but I could see that going either way.
Interesting. Okay.
I mean, I do like the idea, like you were saying, of perhaps the earth, like the earth material, for example, where your faction is, that the stone or the rock or whatever it is actually a form of bone in terms of the planet itself, right? So like maybe if we were travelers from another world coming to this planet, we go, wow, this isn't just stone. This is actually some kind of strange biomass, right?
Yeah.
But I bet the people there wouldn't know. To them, it's stone. But so in the same vein, maybe like the water of the ocean is like 10% some kind of fluid protein or something. And so from an alien xenobiologist perspective, they're like, wow, this is actually, the water has living components to it. That would be really neat, because then you could have it both ways. You see, like you could have the people in the environment would just see it as water. But then if you're writing this from the narrative, the fourth wall, you clue into the reader that, oh, wow, this is actually the blood of the ocean. So I got your blood back.
Hey. Okay. I'll take it. See,
but when you said like protein ocean or protein water or whatever you said, I'm like, that's somehow grosser than just cum ocean to me. And I don't know why.
I don't know. I think I'm okay with protein.
No, because it just sounds like a euphemism. It just sounds like you're good. Okay.
There's protein in lots of things.
That's true.
We need to move on, please. We need to jettison, evacuate. Please, let's get out of this conversation.
I like the idea that it's like, you know, from just an outside perspective, it would look like any old Earth-like-ish planet that can sustain life. But if you were to actually examine the components of like the soil and the water and so on, there's a lot more to it than that. And That is how these entities communicate with the planet itself. That's how the planet controls the life forms to send after the musical species and so on. Like it's all, or it should be all connected to the planet, but maybe at some point the sentient species of the planet like lost that connection and the planet lost control of them.
Exactly.
I'm sorry. Can you repeat that a little bit? I'm not sure I'm following.
So what Daniel was saying about like, you know, everything is like 10% planet stuff, or like the spirit of the planet, if you will. And I would assume that that is also in the animals and plants on the planet, that it can influence to, for example, like we talked about, it's sending quote unquote antibodies of animals and stuff after groups of people. And maybe the sentient species had evolved to no longer have that in them. And that's why the planet can't like directly control them anymore.
Oh, so you're suggesting that like whatever biomass the planet has, the sentient creatures are the things that are like the first thing on the planet that aren't in part of its biomass. Is that what you're suggesting?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, that's why there's this kind of disconnect in terms of even just the communication, like how the people think that they're asking the planet to do things or kind of nicely trading with it or whatever. But the planet sees it as like, they're just taking what they want from it.
I mean, it's like the planet was the apex predator in one sense. And this new species that has developed, even though I'm sure some fundamental part of it is similar genetically, is a different species that can compete with it. And so naturally the dominant species doesn't want that to happen. So it's as if, like, I don't know, suddenly we had sentient LLMs that become embodied and they don't have the same interests as we do anymore. Now they're competing with us for control of the world.
Right.
Hypothetically, yeah.
Hypothetically.
Hypothetically. Of course. 2024.
Yeah.
Or in 2024.
Yeah, pretty much. That was not a mistake.
Oh, man. So there's a phrase running around and I want to embody it here, which is survive 2024. And I just feel so weary just even thinking about that phrase, but man, let's go ahead and wrap this up, shall we? what else do we have What else do we have to talk about for our Land of a Thousand Voices part two?
We had talked about going back to something before, right? Was that the nature of the
media? Of what it's what it creates to stop humanity, how it erases their sound.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it's time to come back to that BDO question, that kind of like ultimate antibody that the planet is trying to create. Daniel, I think the metaphor of the apex predator finally, you know, seeing another potential threat, this is the solution. So what does that look like now? Because to me, what I'm also thinking now, right, if it's trying, like the doubling is, might be important, might not be, but if the flaw that you're suggesting here is that the sentient creatures are not in part made of its biomass, maybe these new doppelgangers are, like the 10% of the biomass that they should have in them is finally fixed. It's there, right? Like, so it would make the sentient creatures kind of this aberration or like a mutation that happened or something like that. What do y'all think?
I'm trying to think of a way to not introduce another like element, you know what I mean? Like, for example, one way to get around having to create another thing would be if instead of doppelganging people, you could change the people whose sound is changed. And then as they reproduce, you could then remove their ability to produce music the same way.
Yeah. Okay. So you know how, Daniel, you were like, oh, you have to give yourself to this thing, right? In order for you to get its benefits, right? Like you're effectively giving part of your soul to it, right?
Right.
Maybe what's going on is to keep what you're talking about here is that the planet injects part of its biomass into these people as part of the process. So they become changed over time, like you're suggesting.
Right. And so that speaks to the genetic differences that you're speaking. Right. It's kind of reintroducing its control that way.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly right. Like, okay, these things are out of control. Time to get back in line. And here's how I'm going to do it. Right. That's what effectively is going on.
Mm-hmm. And that would explain why it would go through this elaborate process of enticing them to interact with it. Right. So that it can then master them as they're trying to master it.
I see.
Ooh, yeah. That's a nice turn of phrase, Daniel. You must be some kind of writer.
I still really like the idea of like silencing over time, and like maybe that is how it regains control. We were saying before, how it's going to be a very gradual process. Maybe it is like the people of this planet don't realize something's wrong until babies are being born who don't cry.
They can't
make noise, and it's only then that they realize that something is really terribly wrong.
Oh, the horror.
Yeah. So it's not even like necessarily that the planet is, you know, insisting on having the control again. It's more like, oh, you guys are going to use your voices against me. Well, I'm just going to take those voices then.
Right. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. There's still like that maliciousness to it where it's like, it's injecting them slowly. And maybe it does take like 30 plus years or something like that, or it's a generational thing. But man, that's, I love how like deliciously fucked up that is, because we've built this world where the cultures are based around like singing and dancing. And now we're taking at the very least, the ability to like sing and speak away.
Yeah. And all of their history too, since it's all.
Oh, oral, shit. You're so right. Yeah.
Oral tradition.
Damn. Yeah, that's brutal. All right, cool. Yeah, we've made an evil planet. All right, gotcha. Yeah. Although, you know, from my perspective, the Jedi are wrong. So,
and this completes my plan to turn our setting into Raised by Wolves. I have succeeded.
Oh, and just like Raised by Wolves, it turns out it's canceled just a little bit too soon.
There you go.
So that's going to do it for this episode of World Build With Us. A big, huge thank you to Sunji for the prompt and for your continued support. Truly, thank you so much for that. Remember that if you want us to build your world, you can always go to our website, worldbuildwithus.com, where you can click the link, follow some instructions, and within a reasonable amount of time, we'll be building your world. You can follow us on social media on YouTube or Twitter. Twitter's @LetsWorldBuild. YouTube is World Build With Us, same as always. Anyway, If you want to come chat with us more directly about how we got the science and the magic wrong in this episode, sure, come on over to our Discord where you can talk to us more directly. Or perhaps you're just feeling particularly generous, or you want 2 episodes per prompt like Sunji did, you can go to our Patreon and thank us for the podcast, the almost 5 years of podcast, with a nice little donation and support. That's going to do it for this episode of World Build with Us. Remember that we love you very much, and we're going to get through this together. Until next week.